Hello and welcome to the Domestic Cricket Podcast, where we discuss the latest news, big stories, player movements, fixtures results, classic matches, and of course, interviews with domestic and international cricketers. So if you're a fan of the Sheffield Shield, One Day Cup, or a cricket fan in general, you'll love this podcast. I'm your co-host, Caleb Bland, along with Sam Fitzgibbon. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Domestic Cricket Podcast. Today, it's just me, your host for today, Caleb Bland. And that was Paul Kelly and the Coloured Girls from their 1986 album called Gossip, the song's Adelaide. And there's no better song really to start off this episode as we take time to reflect on the first four rounds of the Sheffield Shield in the Adelaide Hub. And thank Adelaide, especially the South Australia Cricket Association, for all their hard work in getting the domestic cricket season up and running for 2020-2021. So, got a big podcast ahead. Apologies for the delayed release of this podcast, as we've had plenty of high-profile interviews with some very, very interesting people. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, let's get right into it. Well, reflecting on those exciting four rounds of Sheffield Shield cricket, it's hard to remember, you know, a time, especially in my lifetime, where the Sheffield Shield has been so exciting in the matches and also so talked about by the Australian cricket public. Obviously, having Foxtel televise a game around really helped boost the number of people watching from home. And we also saw some pretty good crowds in Adelaide, especially for the games at Karen Rolton Oval, even when the Redbacks weren't playing there, as well as at Glenelg when the Redbacks played their last two home games there. They managed to get a few hundred people, which was great to see. But, you know, we had some amazing individual performances and, you know, you got Cameron Green making runs, taking wickets still. Will Pekowski and Marcus Harris both making a stack of runs, especially that partnership they had where they scored 464 to break the record partnership in Sheffield Shield history, and it's been going for over 120 years. Sean Abbott showing just what a classy all-rounder is, and with those performances, Green, Pekowski and Abbott all found their way into the Australian Test lineup, which shows that the selectors are still putting the Sheffield Shield at the forefront of their selection process. If you make runs in the Shield, you'll certainly make the squad, and that's what those three men have done. And also in the bowling, Mitch Swepson. He's been unlucky not to get a bag of green yet, but it's hard to break into a side with the greatest off-spinner of all time in it, Nathan Lyon. But he's really showing, he's really pushing for a case in that Australian lineup, and we'll probably see him in Sydney, I'd say, if he, the wicket is turning for the third test against India this summer. He's picked up plenty of wickets in those first four rounds. Spun the team to victory in many cases for the Bulls. So we've had plenty of individual, fantastic individual performances from a range of players, and those performances have, you know, turned into potentially baggy green caps, and also brilliant team performances. And, you know, just looking back at round four, it doesn't get any better than New South Wales managing to defeat my Tassie Tigers after being skilled for 64 runs, their third lowest in their Sheffield Shield history. 64 runs they were bowled out for in the first innings. The Tigers, you know, they didn't put them to bed in their first innings of batting, only scoring 239. The Blues then went on and they just couldn't get out really. Made a stack of runs, 500 plus, and the Tigers were then bowled out. So, you know, it's, you know, you if you're Matthew Wade or a Tim Payne, one of the senior players in that Tigers side, you're thinking, how do you let that game slip? And, you know, there's plenty of answers, plenty of questions, sorry, that need answering. There was also a game the Tigers had against Western Australia where they probably were in a very capable position of winning the match and played for a draw. So although we've had some very exciting and close matches, we have had some very predictable draws, but that comes with, you know, a four-day match on, you know, in front of next to no people on pretty flat wickets. Although the South Australia Cricket Association did a fantastic job, especially with Park 25, making them up to first-class standard. Karen Rolton Oval was beautiful. As usual, the pitch was amazing. Outfield, lightning fast. Glenelg, they did a fantastic job, especially after the big Australian football season they had at the ground. Obviously, the Glenelg Tigers playing out of ACH Group Stadium in the Sandful, and Park 25 got a good run with a match every round at the venue. You know, they did a fantastic job getting it up to scratch because it's only been used for grade matches and a handful of women's one-day National League matches, so they did a fantastic job even considering to use the ground and been going through and delivering a fantastic wicket and outfield there. So massive congratulations to the South Australian greenkeeping team. They've been busy looking after plenty of grounds with plenty of matches in a short space of time. And also massive congratulations and thank you to the South Australia Cricket Association who managed to make the matches as advertised as they could be. Obviously, they could only fit in 1,000 people at Karen Rolton and ACH Group Stadium with Park 25 not letting people view. Obviously, with the coronavirus, Park 25 didn't have the spectating facilities that would keep the players separated with the fans at the game. So we still saw plenty of good crowds, and obviously the South Australia Cricket Association did the best they could in getting those crowds in and making the crowd enjoy themselves. That's plenty of food and beverage facilities that were up to the scratch in such a short amount of time. They had shade stalls and tents for the spectators to lie under on the hill at Karen Rolton Oval, which was put up in a very short space of time. So they did everything quickly and they did everything perfectly, in my opinion, for what was a very rushed four rounds of Sheffield Shield cricket. Overall, you know, I don't think anyone thought this was going to work out too well, and they were probably expecting some boring cricket, but it's probably been the best four rounds of Sheffield Shield in a very long time. It's been exciting, it's been talked about, it's been broadcast, and I'm very much looking forward to the next six rounds. I'm not sure when the fixtures will be released for those next six rounds or whether they will continue with that hub sort of way of running the Shield comp or whether they'll move to fly-in, fly-out situations where teams will have home games. So yeah, it's been a very successful stint in Adelaide for the Sheffield Shield and for Cricket Australia. So taking a brief look around the grounds, in round four, for the round four matches, South Australia took on the Queensland Bulls with Queensland winning by 62 runs, but that was a fantastic match and it was actually a swan song for Callum Ferguson, his final ever match in the red and white of the Redbacks. It was sad to see him go. He's been such a long and successful servant to South Australia cricket and for Australian domestic cricket in general. Probably should have played plenty more test matches, but it was sad to see him go, but it was fantastic scenes at the ground. Two very passionate supporters lined up a range of red and yellow t-shirts and on the heel, and managed to spell out thanks Ferg with his number 12 on the heel. And it was very emotional scenes when Ferguson was deemed to be out on 97 runs, so close of a century in his final innings, and so close to leading the Redbacks home to what would have been an absolutely remarkable victory. Couldn't do it in the end. They fell short by 62, but it was a fantastic end to Ferguson's career. Fantastic match. Queensland winning by 62 runs. That was at Glenelg. Moving on to Park 25's match. Well, it was a match of very ups and downs for the New South Wales Blues. Being skittled for just 64 runs in the first innings. Tasmania not capitalising, 239 all out. New South Wales Blues then managed to put on 522 runs, declaring six down, and then bowling the Tigers out for 202 to win by 145 runs, which was their best ever comeback in a Sheffield Shield match, and broke a few records, good and bad. No one would have expected the Blues to even be able to draw that match, but they managed to win by a massive amount of runs. And then moving on to the match at Carnarvon Oval, which was on Fox Sports. It was between the Victorian men's side and the Western Australia Warriors. The match ended in a draw, but it did have its moments. The Bushrangers declaring for 414 runs, four wickets down in their first innings. Then bowling out Western Australia for 479. And then finishing on 4 for 199 in the Bushrangers' reply, with the match being called a draw. Plenty of great batting performances though. In the first innings for Victoria, the top run scorer was Will Pukowski, I believe. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. Sorry. He scored 202 runs off just 347 balls, striking at 58 runs. Yeah, it was a fantastic innings, and you know, he was probably already going to make that test squad, but that cemented his spot probably for the entire series. Marcus Harris scoring 71 runs, and Peter Hanscom coming in at three scoring 84. Western Australia's innings, they managed to surpass the total that the Bushrangers had set, thanks to Sean Marsh's 135 and Josh Inglis coming in at number 8, scoring 125 off just 122 balls with 6 sixes and 10 fours. That was a very entertaining innings, I must say, from Josh Inglis. And then in Victoria's, the final innings of the match, it turned out to be everyone made starts in the top 4. Pukowski 38, Marcus Harris 45, Peter Hanscom 27, and Nick Maddison 39, as that match ended in a draw. And with those four rounds done and dusted, we can finally take a look at the ladder and how it stands after the first half. Well, I mean, nearly the first half of the Sheffield Shield season for 2020-2021. Obviously, the Bush Rangers only played two matches, and the Queensland Bulls and New South Wales Blues played three matches each, but with Western Australia, Tasmania and South Australia playing four matches each. Queensland lead the table, two wins, one loss, 6.48 bonus points, bringing them to 18.48. New South Wales followed them behind, two wins and a draw. Now, you'd think that that would put them ahead of Queensland, but their bonus points are only 3.99, bringing them to 16.99 total points. Western Australia, having played four matches, won one and drew three, lost no matches, which they will be happy about. But they also got 5.36 bonus points, which puts them up in that top three comfortably with 14.36. And then we jump down to the bottom three sides. Tigers drawing 2, losing 2, 6.12 bonus points, bringing them to 8.12. Victoria only playing two matches, couldn't find a result in either matches, both ending in a draw with just 4.68 bonus points, bringing them to 6.68. And the Redbacks, while they played some fantastic cricket at times, especially chasing, they fell short just in on two occasions. Couldn't find that win that they've been searching for over the past 3 or 4 years. They've really struggled for wins. They had that massive inquiry into South Australia cricket by Michael Hussey, elected a new coach, Jason Gillespie, but it hasn't worked so far. But, you know, we are seeing a more spirited Redback side, plenty of young guys coming through and making a name for themselves. They had two draws, two losses, and just 2.24 bonus points, bringing them to 4.24. And that's how the table stands heading in to the next six rounds of Sheffield Shield. But all we get is talking about is glory days. Well, pass you by glory days. Well, it's that time of the podcast. It's time for Caleb's Classic Match. And today we're going to be taking a look at the 2017-2018 Sheffield Shield season, and we're going to be going to the grand final played at Allan Borderfield in Brisbane between the Queensland Bulls and my Tasmanian Tigers. Day one was washed out completely, so it meant it was only going to be a four-day match like the regular season is. Obviously, the finals are played on a five-day system, so it reverted back to its regular season format, which didn't affect the teams as much as it may have for other first-class comps where they play 5 days. Tasmania batted first, and they scored a massive 477 thanks to Matthew Wade's 108 off just 190 balls. George Bailey scored 51 off 90. Jordan Silk opened the Tigers innings, scoring 76 off just 135. And Sam Rainbird, not known for his batting so much, batting at 9, scored 57 off 105 as the Tigers went at 3.44 runs and over, being bowled out for 477, with Brendan Doggett, one of Australia's finest Indigenous players, taking a 5-wicket haul, 5 for 101 off 31 overs, and Michael Nisa picking up 2 wickets as well. Queensland then batted their first innings, and they managed to build a lead. They were bowled out for 516. No century, surprisingly, but the top... Well, actually, everyone made a start in this Queensland lineup, including number 11, Luke Feldman, the policeman, who scored 11. Matt Renshaw scoring 37. Joe Burns, 49. Manus Labuschagne, before he was known for his test match heroics, scoring 32. Charlie Hemphrey scoring 77, top scoring for the Bulls innings. Sam Heaslett, 43. Jack Wildermuth, 73. Jimmy Pearson, the captain and keeper, getting 48. Michael Nisa, 58 off just 77. Mitch Swepson, 27. And Brendan Doggett, 15, as they built a lead. In the bowling, Bo Webster, 3 wickets for 83. Malenko, Rogers and Bird all picking up 2 wickets, and Andrew Fecherty picking up just the 1 wicket. Now, not long was left in the match, only about a day and a session from memory. So Tasmania made the sporting declaration to try and get a result in this match, which was great sportsmanship. It's exactly what we wanted to see. Obviously, a draw no one wanted. No one wants to. Plenty of times it happens. It happened plenty of times in Sheffield Shield where the home side only has to draw. So they'll get their greenkeepers to prepare a pretty flat wicket, and they'll just play for a draw, and they'll get the title. Obviously now they've changed that rule. Whoever gets the most bonus points in the match will win if it is a draw. But Tasmania declared 1 for 166. Scoring at 6.38 runs and over off just 26 overs. Jordan Silk, 74 off 78. Alex Doolan, not known for his fast run scoring, scoring 82 not out off just 74. Bo Webster coming in for just an over, scoring 3 off 4 as they declared for 166. Jack Wildermuth with the only wicket. Queensland were then set a target of 125, I believe. And the Tigers had to bowl him out within about 30 overs. They couldn't do that as Matt Renshaw steered them home, opening 81 off 83 not out. Joe Burns dismissed for 41 off 50. Manus Labuschagne, 5 off 4 balls as they won by 9 wickets. The only wicket that was picked up was by Bo Webster. Matthew Wade was declared player of the match in a losing cause for his century. It was a fantastic match. A big crowd across the 4 days at Allan Border Field. I think day one may have even been sold out. So it was fantastic to see a thrilling game of Sheffield Shield cricket, even though the first day was completely washed out. And yeah, that's my classic match. Well, thanks for joining us again on the Domestic Cricket Podcast. This wraps up our weekly episodes until next year, or perhaps when the Sheffield Shield remaining rounds fixtures are released. It's been great having you. It's been great to see so many people, new people, viewing our podcast. So thanks to all our dedicated supporters out there. As I said earlier in the interview, we have plenty of high-profile interviews coming up across the Christmas break, so look forward to that. It's been a great start to the domestic summer, and hopefully we've got the One Day Cup to look forward to as well next year, so we've got plenty of cricket coming up, so stay tuned for any more announcements or who our podcast guests are going to be. We'll be revealing those very soon on our Facebook and Instagram pages at The Domestic Cricket Podcast. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on Podbean. Thank you for joining us for these weekly episodes, and we'll be back soon. Thank you for joining us on The Domestic Cricket Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Domestic Cricket Podcast and on Facebook. This has been another presentation by the Domestic Cricketers.